Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. This is Nate Voss coming to you from a cold, cloudy, tornado-filled day in Kansas City. Joining us today on the program are, of course, my illustrious co-host, Donovan Berry.
Yeah, and it's not too bad here. It's got a little bit of rain and gray skies, but no tornadoes yet here in Omaha.
Yeah, everything that was here today, dude, is heading north. So it's heading north at about like 20 miles an hour. So sometime tomorrow or very late tonight, probably get there. And if it is heading at all east, it will eventually meet up with our third guest, Mr. Justin Ahrens, friend of the show from Rule 29 in Geneva, Illinois. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, guys. And just to, you know, stay consistent, the weather here is a cool 61. Mm. Lots of rain. So I'm kind of ready for summer to start.
I am not yet ready for summer to start. I'm totally fine with remaining in springtime for just a little bit longer. I'm never in a hurry for the extreme seasons. I likes me the in-betweens.
Like, hey, where are you again now?
I'm in Kansas City. I am downtown Kansas City. I'm like right next to the river in both my work and my play, I guess. So I live like 4 minutes from the office, which is handy. I get to come home over lunch, let my dog out, and avoid tornadoes, apparently. Mm. Today there was a tornado warning. Now, a couple days ago, a little town south here called Joplin got pretty much wiped off the map, and there's some very serious tornado-related business down there. We send our love to those families affected, but the tornadoes are continuing unabated up here, so I spent I want to say about an hour and a half in the basement of the downtown Kansas City airport where VML's office is located. And because it was formerly an airport, it is this networked system of tunnels that I believe would normally be used for like secret dealings and shuffling presidents here and there. And as I do know that airport is the airport that they use when like presidents come to town, that I fully believe they would probably move dude through the tunnels I was in today. We were down there for so long, it was getting to a point where like, okay, we got to get out of here soon, or we have to turn ourselves over to becoming a secret underground society of Morlocks and repopulating the earth at some point. There's a fair amount of people down there. It's VML's got a couple hundred people here at Kansas City. So
now, thankfully, you can still be one of these Morlocks and do this podcast, so it's not going to affect our recording schedule.
I don't know, dude. There wasn't really good connectivity down there. I was picking up pretty good Wi-Fi on the computer, but cell service was shit.
Now you just need Wi-Fi for the podcast. You don't need any cell service.
Yeah,
I'm
Wi-Fiing this recording on Skype right now. This is our first Skype recording. And hopefully we're going to see some increase in quality. We've used iChat for all of our distance stuff before, and we've always just kind of had a little bit of difficulty with that. So with the big How trip coming up, we're going to be doing some distance things for that. We thought, why not do a whole show and test out recording over Skype? So hopefully,
and it's great that Skype has just got bought by Microsoft, so you know that it's going to stay very consistent.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you so far, it sounds better than our last iChat one. So, fingers crossed.
I'm of the mind that basically everything will sound better than our previous, especially our previous iChat conversation. But on the last show, I want to say it sounded like I was in a completely different room. And I talked to Big D about it. He was like, "Dude, I know there's nothing we could do. We just had to give up on it." So it's like, okay, now's the time. We're doing this. So
all right.
Hopefully the Microsoft purchase here will not break us down too much. But Donovan, I feel like you're chomping at the bit here.
Say. Well, what we're talking about is not Kansas City. It's our big trip to Chicago for the How conference, and that's why Justin's in here with us.
Right.
So how is the weather going to be in Chicago from the 22nd to the 27th of next month?
It's going to be absolutely perfect. It's going to be ideal for a few drinks, a little nightlife. And of course, some unbelievable sessions.
Right. There are going to be sessions at that conference. Justin, I feel like I should come clean to you right now, just here at the top of the show. I would say early yesterday or late the day before, I came to the cold, hard truth that I will be unable to cover the How Conference from the How Conference this year.
Oh, my heart's broken.
My heart is broken, dude. You know what? Seriously, can I just, for reals, because I don't know who listens to the show or not, but yo, I feel really bad. I promised Operation Nice a pretty legitimate hug, and now I'm not going to be able to deliver on that, and I also refuse to pass those duties off to someone else. So I feel like I'm breaking promises over here by not going.
Operation Nice will be in good hands, trust me.
Ah, you wish.
Yeah. Well, at least my bar bill will be a little less this time.
No, but that pisses me off, too, because this was finally going to be the time where I was like, okay, things are going.
I'm
going
to buy Justin a beer.
Yeah. Things are finally, you know, turning around for old Liz Lemon. I mean, old Nate Voss over here. I'm going to finally be able to buy J.A. a drink and a meal.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I can
this
see that.
That's how it works. Donovan, will you be here live and in person?
Yes. I will be there for all four of these conferences that are, you know, starting with the Die Line on the 22nd. Now, which conference is it that you're speaking at, and what are you talking about so that I can, not go to it? I mean, so we can tell everyone about it.
Right. I mean, I want you to stay consistent. I mean, you've never come to one of my sessions before, have you?
I normally sit in the back, come in late, leave early, you know.
Were you at Life Kerning last year, Donovan?
Actually, yeah, I was.
Yeah, I was at Life Kerning, I think.
I was at Life Kerning
last year. I feel like I was. Did I go to that?
No.
Yes.
No.
What was in it? It was people talking, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I check in my notebook. I have Life Kerning notes right here.
You were up front, I think, with Debbie Millman because she went to that one with you. And I was in the back of the room.
I got to sit by Debbie.
Anytime I get an opportunity to sit near, next to, or on top of Debbie Millman, I take it.
Yeah, I was just flattered that she came.
Yeah.
I think there must not have been anything else good going on.
It's entirely possible, but you know what, Justin, you never know. They might schedule it that way. You should take that as a compliment.
No, actually, what happened was we were going to record our podcast with Debbie during the thing, and we had to actually move the time for it so that she could go to your breakout session.
We had to move Debbie's interview like six times.
And one of the times we had to move it was basically because you couldn't miss the Justin talk. So what is the Justin talk on this year?
Well, this year, Donovan, to answer your question, I'm going to be at the traditional How Design Conference or How Design Live, whatever the official title is now.
I love How Design Live. I just want to put that out there as like a big giant umbrella name. Anyway, sorry. So you're speaking at that.
Yeah, I'm speaking on Sunday, the 26th, I think mid-morning session. And I finally get to talk, just about a bunch of the initiatives we've been working on and also a lot of the work that we've been doing in Africa, but more about why we do that and how it's changed the way we see things. And also talk a little bit about some of the things that we have coming up that relate to seeing different and doing different. And then also latest initiatives that we're launching, a couple of which are just purely for the How Conference.
So let me ask you. So is this seems like not like a, like last year Life Kerning was about, you know, how to even out the spaces in your life, you know, like to bring the kerning metaphor back in.
Yeah.
How to balance things out. This sounds like it's a little bit more about a Rule 29 update, like a designer sobriety update. Like,
it's really more about, I think since we've been doing this work in Africa and also for other organizations, I think it's really changed our perspective as a whole, how we look at our work and how we look at the world. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, designers in general, you know, seem to have to rally around causes and we want to do something with our superpowers to make this world a better place. And so I just talk more about how we've done that and some of the effects that that's had on us and our process, but then also share with the community on some ideas on how they can do that themselves, mm-hmm. And also challenge everyone there to do things differently.
And it's more I know that this is actually something that the three of us plus two other people have taken part in, but it's more than just like, oh, a bad thing has happened in the world. let us make a poster to say something about it.
Exactly.
And I think there were so many Japanese flag, tsunami, earthquake posters in the wake of really that incredibly tragic, horrible moment that just made me think, like, really, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, and I think
we're making posters.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of chatter about that, and you know, I see both sides of the coin on that. You know,
you're right. There was a lot of chatter.
Do something, so we do something, right? Yeah. And maybe that something should be something different is really what I talk about. And you know, you don't have to go to Africa to make an impact. You know, you don't have to, go to Japan to be a part of that. And maybe the poster concept isn't the best way to go, even though we've participated in that. So
certainly. We made a big deal of it too.
I don't want to be a total hypocrite there. But I think as we evolve, as creatives in our careers, the way we see the world, sometimes we don't continue, on that road because we're not quite sure how to do it, or it seems too daunting, or it seems that the quote unquote sacrifice or steps that we have to take maybe are larger than what we think we can handle. And I'm saying it isn't if you let it literally affect the way you see the world and how you do your work. And if it just becomes part of your DNA and how you go about your every day, then I think you'll see a change that you really can't even calculate the difference. And I talk a lot about that. I show examples there. And I also have simple to, you know, pretty radical thoughts on how you can apply that to your work. I think it's exciting. I've enjoyed every session I've given at Howe. This one I'm the most scared about because I'm just really kind of throwing out some things out there that we really believe in. And it's a little bit out of the formula for lack of a better term. So I'm excited about it.
So
can you give us one of these examples?
Can you spin early for us? Are you prepped?
Yeah. Can you give us a little bit of a little catch, a little bit of trailer on it?
Yeah, of course. So one of the things that we've been, when I come back from these trips, you know, it's really hard to kind of readjust to normal life. Cause after you've been in that environment, you know, you have to process so much of what we have versus what they don't have.
And this is the slums of Africa that you're going to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, it's extreme. I mean, no one that we know or no one that will listen to this or, you know, no one that will see at the Howe conference will ever experience, what I'm talking about. I mean, it would have to be literally someone from the slums of Africa who comes to America and becomes a designer. And that's the only way they'd be able to relate to it. But my point is I came home, we talked about this and I started seeing some of the conversations around the studio and even the conversations I had at home with my kids, I was like, gosh, how do we expand this more? Not just do more work there. And, you know, we've tried to bring Africa. We've tried to bring Africa.
Go ahead and take the call, buddy.
Oh, that's it. Totally threw me off. We tried to bring Africa to, people by doing these documentaries that we've done. We just did a second documentary this year.
I really want to ask you more about This Is My Normal after our break.
Yeah, I'll bring that. Anyways, Donovan, to get to a literal example. So as I was sitting talking to some people like, hey, you know, we really love the work we do in Africa, but, you know, I love that we do it, but it's not something that I'm personally passionate about. And I'm like, you know, really, what are you passionate about? So I started talking to the team about things that they're really interested in being a part of and trying to help change. And so I thought, you know what? Why don't I give everyone here an opportunity to go out and spend some of their time, their work time, to go out and engage in these stories in a way that they can share with other people. So I hired a new strategist here. He's also a filmmaker. And so everyone on the team has to this year go out and tell someone's story. And this story has to be something that's not the everyday. It could be someone who maybe is dealing with some big, heavy situation in their life, or it's a cause, or one of the things I'm going to show at the Howe conference is my first story that I recorded this year. And it's about a really good friend of mine who is a fine artist. And she's amazing. And she just found out that she's going blind. And I just wanted to record. I've been interviewing her periodically And I'm going to keep interviewing her until she finally loses her sight, to kind of just tell her story. But
God, that, and that's seriously, that is every, I think that is every artist's like worst nightmare.
Right. Right. And
I
her,
think we've
her,
all had that thought, like, oh my God, like what?
And her attitude. Yeah. And her attitude is so unbelievable. I mean, it, and the reason why it meant something to me is A, she was a friend, but B, that's one of my big worries, right? It's like, you know, and I mean, I don't want any of this to happen, but, you know, I'd rather lose my hearing or, you know, my sense of taste or whatever. But I can't lose my eyesight, right? And she's just has this amazing outlook and this amazing attitude. And so I'm going to show some clips of that in my presentation as an example of things that you can do in your life to allow you to see things differently and take a pause and create some space to see that we have this cool, awesome, amazing job that we get an opportunity to help, influence what people think and how people see the world. You know, I hope we take the time to affect ourselves in a positive way and not just get to the point where we're so jaded by, you know, corporate brand manuals and bottom line of some of our, clients we work with. What are we doing to feed ourselves in a way that is personally inspiring? And so one of the initiatives at Rule 29 has been to become better storytellers, or really people who understand story. And so each person has to go out this year and tell at least one story and document it through the medium of film. And then we're going to share that with the community just to hopefully influence others to, participate or do their own thing. And we have like three or four other initiatives that we're doing.
Right. Yeah.
That.
Don't give it all away right now, man. No one's going to come.
I think that's a fantastic project. Where would our listeners go to find out more about this or to follow this as it progresses?
They go to the fucking How conference, dog.
No, I meant the video part. A lot of people listen to this maybe after even the How conference.
Nobody watches video online.
Hey, I'll tell you this. We're actually in debate right now on the actual URL, but I will give that to you guys when we have it. I'm sorry I don't have it right on the show. We're kind of in crunch time for the conference, but sure, I will definitely give you that URL link. Because we're really going to launch it at the week of the conference and start tweeting about it. Beautiful. So, but I will give that to you guys, of course, earlier than everyone else. And
okay, so you're going to follow our Twitter at 36 Point or the Rule 29 Twitter at Rule 29. And I'm sure the links will be there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So hey, fellas, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to ask Justin about this movie he just launched. We're going to talk about what we've been designing. Word. So guys, I just want to let you know that since moving to Kansas City and watching as much Mad Men as I can get my hands on, I've become a drinker of the scotch.
Really? And, what's your scotch of choice?
I don't have a scotch of choice yet. I'm working on a Johnny Walker right now.
Edible. Something? Is it Blue Label?
No, dude, this is red Label. Like, I don't know, and I know Lowland.
So you're developing
Lowland scotches are for beginners. I know Highland scotches are for experts. And I know that if you are in Scotland to order scotch on the rocks, will get you smacked around.
Oh, yeah. So you're developing your palate.
Yes, that's what I'm attempting to do right now. I'm actually having a scotch right now.
Well, if you would have come to Chicago, I would have got you some Johnny Walker Blue.
Well, shit, yeah, dude. I'm not saying that I'm not coming to Chicago. It's not working out right now.
I'll take care of that for you, Nate. Thanks.
I'm just going to – yeah, you, Donovan, you take that hit for me.
So, Steve, hey,
that's the reason that we do the show from How, is to bring the How experience to all of us out in the world that can't make it to How. That's my dog, by the way. He's barking. Leo, do you want to be on the show? Okay, let's do this. So, Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is my normal.
Yeah.
That's out. That's a thing. You've had premieres. Tell us about the reception.
Well, you know, it's pretty fantastic. I mean, we wanted to do this a little differently than the last movie. we had gone to Sundance this year, and which is rocking, by the way, if you ever get to go.
Should I go to that, or should I go to Howe?
Definitely go to Sundance.
Okay, okay. Not mincing any words.
No, I mean, they're both pretty awesome experiences. But for me, it was one of those bucket list items I always want to do. But anyways, what we did is we had the premiere here at this old theater, which was beautiful. And we sort of set it up, you know, like a festival style, where we introduced the movie, we showed it, and then the whole crew was there, and we answered questions about the movie. So the movie was about extreme poverty. You hear that term thrown on a lot, but I didn't think people quite understood what that meant and needed to see it and understand it, not only from someone who was in that situation, but also we interviewed about 7 experts from Nairobi, Kenya, and they could kind of paint the picture of what extreme poverty was and what you could do about it. And honestly, I was super nervous. I was hoping like to get, you know, like 40 or 50 people, and we had about 250 people show up, which was awesome.
Nice.
There were screenings going on all over the country this year. I think they had one in LA. There's one in Phoenix in the fall during the same week of the AIGA National Conference.
Hey.
And then
serendipitous, or did you plan that?
Yeah, we did. We planned it.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, it's exciting. So, hey, Nate, if you don't make it, I think I'm going to present AIGA, so maybe you could see a version of my talk there.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens with AIGA. I don't know. I don't know about that one.
It's Phoenix, baby.
But it's Chicago, dude.
Yeah, no, Chicago's way better.
Having been to both conferences now, I see the strengths and weaknesses of both. I may currently be more of a Howe man than an AIGA man. What I'm actually really interested in, as I am now, a big part of a all digital agency, is that Howe is launching the Howe Interactive Conference in November, and it's in like San Fran, home of the most incredible AIGA leadership retreat of all time. And I'm kind of interested in potentially having a look at that.
Very cool.
Dudes, I'm getting beeps. I don't know what these beeps mean.
Okay, well, let's take another break. When we come back, we'll talk about this book.
We're still good. We're still alive. We're still
good? Well, let's just talk about this book.
Yeah, so Justin, I understand.
Well, hold on. Before we go to the book, let me just tell you, go to thisismynormal.com. You can watch the trailer. And if you want to sign up for a screening, there's an email on there on who to contact. Mm-hmm. And
they'll bring a screening to your hometown.
Right, right.
Of yep. Justin's amazing movie, This Is My Normal. Go to thisismynormal.com. Do it now. It's okay. You can both listen to the show and visit websites on most devices these days simultaneously. So do that. Justin, I understand. Jeez, it's like we never run out of things to talk about with you, man, because you always got so much goddamn things happening. But I understand you are also rocking a new book.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Tell us about that. Who are you? Tell us who you're doing the book for first.
It's for designers.
Is it for Rockport? Is it for Howe?
No, it's for Wiley Publishing. Ah,
yes. Okay, I'm familiar with them.
So I was hoping to do something with Howe and Wiley liked the concept, so we went with it. So we kind of made it a little broader. It's for really any business professional. I mean, obviously there's a creative slant to it, since, you know, that's kind of what I do, but it's really, taking the life kerning presentation, that I gave and really expanding it into a book, and talking about a lot of other, ways and ideas and things to think about and, activities to kind of apply to your career to help you, maybe see things, on a larger scale.
Nice. Okay.
So when is this book hitting the market?
It's going to be, I think, up for pre-sale here in the next month or so on Amazon. And then I think it's hitting the market in October.
Oh, Jesus. So this thing's basically in the bag.
Yeah. I'm just, I made the decision that I wanted to illustrate every concept. So that's been killing us. So we have one more to do. And I think we sent it to press in July. So.
Okay, yeah. So you're drilling right along on that thing. Okay.
So eventually there will be a microsite at lifekerning.com. So eventually you'll all be able to go there and kind of get a flavor for the book and, you know, pre-order it if you want, write a review, make fun of me, ask any questions, all of the above.
Great. Beautiful. Yes, all of the above shall be incoming via us dudes. Donovan, do we have any other topics for Justin? Shall we move on to what has we been designing?
Let's move on to what has we been designing.
Kablammo, yep. And we have moved on. Donovan, let's I was going to throw it to you first, but, you know, with a special guest, live from Geneva outside of Chicago, Justin Ahrens, as mentioned off mic, we talk to you all the time. I can't think of a single time on this show where we've actually talked to you about billable work. Like, I think you might need to start paying the bills a little bit, start charging some clients. Yeah. Or, I don't know. Maybe you are charging the slums of North Africa for these films. I hope not. But Justin, what have you been designing, man?
The studio we've been.
By the way, can I ask? Because I can't remember. Are you familiar with this segment?
I'm not.
Okay. Basically, we talk about the things what we've been designing.
Yeah.
We do not talk about the clients we have been designing them for.
Love it.
So that we can kind of speak freely and relate.
Sure.
So, sorry. I just want to make sure every time we have someone on, I almost forget to set that up. And just like, we're just talking about the things.
Yeah. No, for us, it's been really exciting the last couple of months. We've done a variety of things. It's been, I think it's been really fun lately. It's been a little stressful because our timelines have been a little scrunched lately. But, outside of the book, which has been a lot of fun, we've been doing a whole new undergrad development for a local college. And so what's been fun about that, it's about 15 brochures. One of them is a 60-page view book, which has just been a blast to, kind of be up to your arms and print again. We've done a lot of, social media. I've been working on some iPhone apps and some Facebook, integration. We've been doing a lot of stuff on the film side, doing some in fact, Nate, I have to send you a sample. We did this cool little animation video where we did a bunch of characters. I thought about you when we were doing it.
Love it. Should have thought about hiring me, or I wouldn't have to work for the man right now.
I'd love to.
I'm totally just kidding.
No, I would have loved to, but I would probably would want to pay you too. I mean, it was a pretty tight budget, but we thought it'd be fun.
Justin, I told you, tell us about paying work.
Oh, we got paid. It just didn't get paid as much as we'd want.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then, awesome.
Yeah.
Then let's not name this one specific college that you're talking about. That's awesome. I would love to see it. You mentioned doing a lot with social integration, like Facebook and Twitters and all of that.
Yeah.
I, over the past week here.
By the way, did you say Twitters?
Yeah, Twitters probably.
Okay.
There's multiple. There's all kinds of tweeties and Twitters.
Mm-hmm. We just call it the Twitter. Just that.
Okay, part. The Twitter. Yes, yeah. Also acceptable, I think.
Now, when you're talking social media, did like the whole crew at Rule 29, like you and Damons and all that, like dress up as school kids and try to infiltrate?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that is what I am picturing would work great.
Like the late 80s movie Plain Clothes, now available on Netflix.
Actually, about every late 80s movie, probably.
Yeah. Or what was the one with John Cryer? That one was way better. Where John Cryer is almost assassinated by the mob, and he starts out and he has a beard, and then he shaves his beard, and then he looks like he belongs in high school, so he goes back and hides in high school. I remember this as a good movie.
No, you don't.
I do. Do you know what movie I'm talking about? I can't remember it.
No, I'm trying to pull it.
Go ahead. Just look up John Cryer. It'll probably pop up. Anyway, so I had this incredible, like, week-long conversation about how to implement social properly on a website. And the conversation ran into, Okay, so are they sharing the site, or are they sharing the site, like, particular site content?
Hiding out. That's what it is.
Hiding out,
man,
yes.
See, they were even creative in the names of the movies back then. It was awesome.
I remember that as not... Who's his co-star on that?
I don't know, but he does. He is rocking a beard.
Yeah. Is there... Can you look up who was the lead?
John Cryer, Keith Coogan, and Annabeth Gish.
Okay, I don't... No, okay, that's not who I thought it was then. I remember that movie as being watchable at the age of like 10. So
that's a ringing endorsement right there.
It received 6 out of 10 stars.
Hey, that's okay. That's acceptable. I mean, that's probably about as good as, you know, like Too Furious. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we've been having this conversation. It's like, are they sharing the site? Are they sharing particular site content? Are they sharing, like, drilled down special offer content? What's the difference? Then are they sharing it / or are they liking it? Or are they liking the Facebook page? And what happens when they click the button? And to be honest, it was I want to say it was way more complicated a task to sort out than I had ever really anticipated. Like, do you guys run into that, or do you just throw up like, yo, let's put a like button on this shit?
No, I mean, we do think through strategy and what we want the user to do with the content, you know, and, you know, is the strategy more to create, you know, a mass following so you can direct market to them, or is it, you know, to integrate as much as possible so people can choose how they want to interact with your brand? I will admit it can be overwhelming at times, for sure. But we've tried just throwing stuff up before, just seeing how it works, not for clients necessarily, but for us, just to see what happens, to learn from it. But, you know, I think that in some ways it depends on the type of content and the particular social media you pick, whether or not it even be successful. Because I think a lot of our clients just say, hey, we'll throw a like button on it. People will like the hell out of it. And that's just not how it works.
Yeah, it's certainly not. I mean, yeah, a lot of people think that, like, oh, what's, we need a Facebook page because people have Facebook pages. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was, oh, we need a website because people have websites. And, you know, and that was before they really knew what to do with it. And I feel like we're kind of going through that again. I for my part, I did not make things any easier because I was frequently swapping the terms of share and like in conversation. I would mean one, say the other, and fuck everything up. That happened several times.
So is that, what are you primarily working on then? Social media stuff or?
No, the social media of this was just one aspect to a larger site.
Right on.
But anyway, that's why I brought that up. Donovan Berry, you've been quiet as a mouse today.
Well, what I've been working on today was a couple of Yellow Page ads. And this is exciting because I haven't done one of these in years because I always forget that the Yellow Pages even exist.
Is it they do? You have farmed Yellow Pages ads out to me before? Is it that Yellow Pages ad?
No. That was a one time. That was, we only did like one project.
Oh, God, that's really too bad.
This was like actually like multiple ads for the same client because they're advertising in different sections. But the thing I found from the last time I did a Yellow Page ad, and that was years ago, was that finding the size, the exact size to make the ad file is not easy. Like the decks in the Yellow Book have like hidden the ad sizes, and you actually have to call them and find someone on the phone.
You mean you can't just like whip out a ruler and just go, or?
Well,
you know what? You know what that would take? That would take you having a copy of the Yellow Pages at your office.
And I have the one.
That's happened.
But this is for different cities, so I don't know what they're printing them and stuff. So yeah, that was good time.
Donovan, could you describe to Justin the Yellow Pages ad to which I was referring a moment ago?
It sounds amazing.
It was the most amazing thing of all time. In fact, I don't even know if we got a copy of the Yellow Pages that was in.
Huh. I think if you do, you need to post that on the site.
But could we? Because Justin, this thing was like what did I wind up setting that in? It was like I think I set it in Cooper Black and Souvenir. Just imagine that in your head right now, and it was a wall of text. It was like a 5-column over a 3-column over a 2-column, and then as a border, like there was a legitimate like 2-point border around
that. Actually, Nate,
set from that was a border of text running around the edge of the ad because they couldn't fit it anywhere else.
Okay, Nate, that was actually a newspaper ad, not a Yellow Page ad.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's not nearly as awesome.
No.
I sent that around to people like, yo, look at what Joker put this thing together. And they were like, oh, that's awful. And they was like, you dick, I totally designed this. It was one of the most like enjoyably just irreverent projects I've ever had was this tiny, apparently newspaper, not Yellow Pages ad that I
did. But it was very appropriate for the client and their target audience.
Oh, man, it killed. Seriously, any designers of the world, anytime you can set Cooper Black with Souvenir, it's a match made in heaven, baby.
And there are purposes such as that one where it made sense.
Donovan, please tell me you've made fridge magnets before.
Yes.
Now that's what drives business. They're amazing.
Justin, do you have a fridge magnet project going?
That's actually where Justin makes 90% of his money.
Is that where it's coming in?
Yeah.
Justin, do you want to pimp your fridge magnet business here on the show real quick?
Well, I don't want to reveal, you know, my real business.
Oh, are we building up to another how? Like,
I'm just saying, you guys go online, you see a fridge magnet website up there, and they're killing it.
You gotta get yourself some fridge magnets.
Seriously, no. As a real story, I had a client, I won't name who it was, come into my office, said, I got something so exciting to tell you. And I'm like, oh, right on. What is it? And he goes, I know it's going to drive business. I know what it is. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. And he goes, fridge magnets.
Boom.
And I'm just sitting there, and I'm inside, I'm about ready to like burst out laughing because the timing was perfect. And he's like, seriously, look at these bad boys. And he pulled out all these different fridge magnets, you know, some are die cut, some whatever. And he was dead serious. And he's like, all right, I need an estimate. And I just want fridge magnets. We're just going to blanket the town. And I didn't even know what to say. And so I gave him a real high estimate, and we never worked together again. Which kind
beautiful,
of
beautiful, well played.
But then
I can't spend that much on fridge magnets. I've got overhead.
But I'm thinking fridge magnets. I don't know.
These magnets don't magnetize themselves, damn it. I can just like picture him in his basement, like magnetizing strips of magnet.
No, we have a client.
Where do magnets come from? Like seriously, I know.
It's a magical land. It's the same.
Comes from a store.
It's the same place that you get glitter and you find unicorns. It's amazing.
It's the same place gravity comes from. You buy magnets and gravity at the same store.
Yeah, it just kind of happens.
All right, well, dudes, I will make this quick. But hey, what I've been designing, websites. Because that's like 90% of our business here. I wouldn't even say 90%. That's falsehood. But, we make a lot of websites. But so the website I was working on last time wrapped up a couple days ago. It's going up the ladder to the big boss. And in the meantime, I had a little bit of downtime. So they were like, Nate, we're going to ship you over to this other team because there are just teams and teams and teams out here. And so then I wound up on a completely different client, a completely different business, computer related, let me say, doing a high level like brand page website, kind of like almost like a microsite slash landing page. So it'll be a website that you go to that will give you a little bit of like messaging, and then you will click a link and it will send you to a page on the site proper. And whereas the previous website that I worked on, it was Justin, like, that's where that social conversation came from. Really crazy, deep, deep thinking on usability. The website I worked on for the past 2 days was like, yo, we got to make a website. Go. And it was just like, heading straight back to gut checking, intuitive based. How would I use a site? I guess I'd use it this way. Send. And but it was really fun. It's always, I think, enjoyable to work on projects like that where you just like you you kind of have to operate off of like how you designed in your gut instead of overthinking everything, because there literally is not time to do it any other way. But it was cool and it was fun, and everything is now out the door again. So yeah, now tomorrow I have no idea what I'm going to go in there and do. Hopefully an app of some kind.
Hey, I have two questions.
Yes.
One, so are you liking the new job?
Holy crap. I really like working there. Again, I work at VML. You can look them up, vml.com. Lot of real high-profile client work gets done there. You know, the kind of national and global brands that, you know, that kind of work is rare to get exposed to. You know, like the previous 10 years of my life when I was in Omaha, there just isn't that much of that kind of work that gets done in that community. Not, and I'm not saying that as a put down to the Omaha community at all. It's just not really there. So to come in and move from one, you know, again, literally global brand to another global brand just is, you know, I kind of sat back and thought about it today. And it just kind of knocked my socks off. But so far, you know, in addition to that, everyone there is super cool. They like the work I'm doing. There is always beer on tap. And there is almost always leftover Kansas City barbecue in the kitchen. And the kitchen is 10 feet from my desk. So even if I'm not eating it, it always smells like barbecue. Like, it is tough to go wrong.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I'm super happy about it.
Well, then my second question, and no offense to your job, but it's probably more important. Mm-hmm. Who do you miss more, Donovan or Steve Gordon?
Donovan Beery. I miss him like a son, even though he's older. Sweet. Also, yes. I will call him out yet again on the show. I'm not sure Steve knows that I've left. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm not
entirely sure that that dude, like, he just might be like, yo, Nate hasn't been by Starbucks in a couple of days.
Where'd he be?
Steve was by the office today. He knows you're gone.
I don't know if that's true, dog. I will believe it when I see it with mine own eyes. Well,
what about design superstar Drew Davies? Does he know you're gone?
Drew does know I'm gone. Drew got in touch right away. Let's see. I think guys, we're going a little bit long on show here. So we were going to touch briefly on the fact that there is a CS 5.5 that is a thing that exists.
I guess we'll talk about that more probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Justin, do you have any experience with that aside from knowledge that it in fact is a thing?
No, I'm just irritated that I have to buy a bunch of new freaking versions.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if you want to come back in 2 weeks and talk with us about that some more, you're certainly welcome.
You know, Justin, you're fine to keep using Illustrator 88 as long as you want. You don't have to.
There's a video online for Illustrator 88. I could send it to you.
And Photoshop 1, you know, I hit a filter and I go have lunch and I come back and it's almost ready.
Mm. Or I think they just call that the Photoshop. But so in 2 weeks, Donovan and I should have ample time to have played around in the 5.5, and we will deliver a full report.
Oh, look at you guys. You're early adopters. You both have it?
We are media. So
Ooh. Hello.
That is a thing. So we will check that out. We're thinking about maybe putting up some usage test videos online, you know. Because we have that capability too. Because I'm not on an eMac anymore. We might be able to do things like that. So, okay. But hey, I would just like to thank Justin Ahrens for spending time with us again today. And Donovan, of course, as always, holding it down.
And since Nate will not be there to leech beverages and food off of you in Chicago, I will do that for him. So.
I just want to put it out there to listeners that will be at the How Conference in Chicago at any of the four How Design Live conferences, that if you require a drink or perhaps a meal, Justin Ahrens is always willing to put out for that kind of stuff.
Whoa. Yes.
Yeah. In return.
Yeah.
He'll put that didn't necessarily come out the right way, but yes.
I don't want to rub it in, but Donovan and I have – We honestly have a lot more fun when you're not there.
Sweet.
It's gonna be a blast.
I am happy to enable the both of you.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. 5-5. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Justin, thanks so much. Donovan, take it easy, and everyone else out there, have a great time, day. I don't know when you're listening to this. Whatever. Peace out.